who it is.
Whoa.
So I'm not preaching on that round thing that Richard uses because I have to do it like this. So that's the way I'm going to roll. But it is really, really fun to see all of y'all that showed up. You people are rowdy. Did you not see the weather this morning and the snow? But thank you so very much for coming. I would have really felt bad if nobody had been here. I'd have blamed me. But anyway, and a big thank you to Rod Kellett. He came out early and plowed our parking lot for us, put down the salt. It was perfectly fine, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rod. Also, I met some first-time visitors here today. That's very impressive. Several are here. Don't go to church here, but they happen to be in town or whatever. And you're here also. So you people probably need counseling. But anyway, glad you all are here. Richard called me yesterday evening and said, man, I feel like I need to be in Oklahoma. He said, can you handle this? I said, yeah, we can come up with something, and the Lord will give us something. And I laid down in bed last night, and I realized that today is this church's 14th birthday. Yeah, how about that? We were planted on the very first Sunday in March. That was the 6th. So we call this our birthday today. And even before that, and let me say this. Marcia reminded me too last night, or this morning maybe. This is a really special day for our family because on March 3rd, 2010, my then youngest grandson got saved on that day. Do you remember that, young man? Way to go, Isaac Qualls. Yeah. I've even got a picture of him, and we dug this out of the archive. Before the very first Sunday, here's where this church was meeting. Before we, in 2005, in March, do you not have a picture from Rachel's phone?
No, we're pulling it up.
We're going to pull it up. They'll pull it up there. And there's even a picture of little Isaac. We were meeting in a home with about 10 or 12 folks. And Isaac was just like a two-year-old or so. And anyway, there it is. There it is. That's the start of this church. Terry and Linda, is that? There's Rafel and Elmer and Terry and Linda. Terry and Linda, you go like this. Yeah, that's those young folks back there in the back row. And Rachel and Sylvie. Shoot, I forgot her first name. Oh, there's Joy and there's Karen. And down there on the floor, there's little Isaac. Can you see him? Stand up, Isaac, so they can see how you developed into a monstrous man. Five foot five, 129 pounds of steel and sex appeal. Way to go, young man. Okay, good. Yeah. You're going to appreciate me for that someday. I look back in 2008. We were celebrating our third birthday. I'll read you a couple of quotes from that day later on. But it was cool on that day. We were brand new in this building, had just moved in. And our message that day, and the thing that we all came together around this one idea, we're not here celebrating our birthday. We're not here celebrating a new building, although that was cool. That was very cool. We're here to celebrate Jesus. We made it very clear that day. Of all these cool things, and from that little living room group to there was a boy, that in March 2005, we had one service, but the building was full. And we made it very clear, though, that day, that this is about Jesus. This is His day. And we're here to celebrate Him and Him alone. We are here to celebrate that He owes, He gets the credit for all of this stuff. Little Isaac and the big old building and all the people that were in there. We were celebrating what Jesus had done. But there were a lot of miracles in the house. We'd seen a lot of good things. We'd seen the hand of the Lord move with healing on people. There were healings in families. There were healings in bodies. And there were salvations. People were all over the community, 65672, were getting saved. And we were celebrating, and some of you were here, and we remember that. And especially we were celebrating the fact that our Savior, our Lord Jesus, is not dead. He is alive and well. Thank you very much. And it felt good. Wow, it felt good. It feels good thing. It feels good here today. And we're going to celebrate. Yes, it's a birthday. We're going to give you some reasons to celebrate. There's power. There's power in celebration. Amen? And I realized, thinking back through this, that we should continue to develop this celebration thing in us. We should develop it and practice it. We should get better and better at it. You know why? We're going to be doing this forever. Yeah, and we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to get good at celebrating Jesus. Amen? Yeah, we can do this and get better and better at it and stronger and more skilled in celebration. I think I can prove that today from the Scripture. And as I was looking back, I was thinking about that 2003 year, and I remembered seeing some notes that I'd preached that Sunday. I talked about my motorcycle. I had a Victory motorcycle, big old strong red handsome thing. Here's a big old strong gray handsome thing riding this. That was supposed to be funny, but I thought that would be funny. Anyway, I love that Victory motorcycle. It was big. It was powerful. And I was a careful motorcycle rider. I never had a bad wreck. And the main reason is because I found out I'm very allergic to blacktop at 65 miles an hour. It doesn't work good for me. And so I would be very careful. Always a little bit under the speed limit. But there was a few times that I just couldn't help it. You know, there was something about sitting on top of that big, powerful thing and just knowing that on the bottom half of that throttle, it would flat go. And it had 1,500 cc's of heart-throbbing power. And every so often, I used to do what us guys call, let her see what she would do, blow out the cobwebs. And no kidding, I'd look around and no traffic and no police. I confess it, I'd let her rip. I'd let her rip all the way. I'd crank that thing down till the telephone poles were going like this. I'll be honest. I'll confess it. I've had it over 100 mile an hour. Yes, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I'm here to praise you. Whoa, man, that was so fun and scared me. But every so often, it just felt amazing to do that. I think in about half of you who are men understand what I'm saying. Can I get an amen from you? Okay. All right, there was something about it, though. It would just get me excited. It would get me really focused, because you, at 100 mile an hour, you're really paying attention to that little white line. And boy, I mean, it was energizing, and it blew out the cobwebs. And man, I think that that is exactly a good picture for celebration. I think when we as Christians come into the house of God, we should realize that there is great power, healing power, freeing, liberating power in celebrating and praising God. I've come to know and understand, I love Sunday mornings because it's an opportunity for me to ride at breakneck speed. To come into the house of God and focus on Him, and put my eyes on Jesus and let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through my hair like 100 mile an hour. And let the throttle down and celebrate God. And it's so invigorating. It's so exciting. And I tell you, sometimes my week gets long. Sometimes it gets too busy. Anybody? Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's full of troubles. Sometimes it's full of stress and busyness. I know what you know. That what that is about. And so Sunday mornings is your opportunity to let her rip, tater chip, and focus on the Lord and focus on Him and what He's done and who He is and what He's about to do. So I want to encourage you and read a passage here that this might just revolutionize your life. Because celebration is the one thing we're going to do forever. We're not always going to preach. We get to heaven, we won't need preachers, amen? We won't need to teach. We'll have God right there face to face, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we'll have the mind of Christ, and all things will come to us. We won't need to practice praying. We won't need to practice interceding. We won't be teaching Sunday school. We won't be taking offerings. We'll just be giving praise and celebration to the living God forevermore. So I think we should learn to get good at this. What do you think? So I've got a passage for you on the power of celebration. It's from Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her, and tie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did Jesus as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. Imagine that, they were there. Placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest." And when Jesus had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." What a great picture of celebration. There's incredible symbolism, rich symbolism that we will dig from this. And know this about this scene. This is Jesus, it's on one of his final acts coming to Jerusalem to be crucified. It's one of the final things, and he is fulfilling prophecy, this riding on the colt of a donkey, a young donkey that had never been ridden. That's what that means. And that was all a fulfillment of a prophecy from Zechariah. But there's rich symbolism in here. And it happens in Bethpage. Bethpage was just a little bitty wide spot in the road. There were people that lived there, but I find it very interesting that there is no Bethpage today. It's located, the Bible says, right at the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane is. I've been there, several of you have been there. There is no community of Bethpage. And we'll probably try to, if I have time, I'll come back to that. But that's where this is happening. And so I want to break down some of the symbolism for you. First of all, the fact that he was riding the colt of a donkey is rich in symbolism for us. You see, Jesus is coming in now as a king. He has announced, and the Bible says, he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This, the Bible talked about, the Messiah. He would come one day. When Isaiah wrote it 1,500 years before that, he would come in and he would become the king, the Lion of Judah, a conquering king who would conquer all of his enemies. All the Jews knew that. They were